Have you ever been at a loss for words when trying to describe a guitar's unique voice or tonal characteristics? Well, worry no more, because after today's episode, you'll be able to talk guitar tone like a pro. And it's a lot easier than you think, especially when you stick to the four tonal attributes that every guitar has. And yes, there are only four. Hey TAC family, and welcome to Acoustic Tuesday, episode number 170. Yes indeed, I am back in the studio and I am super pumped. I've donned the Blackhawks jersey and I feel like I'm just immediately in the groove. The Acoustic Tuesday show is designed to bring fun, focus, and progress to your guitar journey through my weekly Guitar Geek lists, plus success stories from your fellow guitar geeks. In fact, this week you're going to be learning about Robin S., who's a guitar geek that set her guitar down in the late 80s, only to pick it back up in the year 2017. And in just a short time, she has achieved amazing, amazing progress. You're gonna learn about Robin here in just a little bit, plus you're gonna get your dose of acoustic news you can use. But first, I wanna dig into guitar tone and how to talk about it. Yes, I'm gonna teach you how to talk guitar tone like a pro by sticking to the four simple tonal categories. Let's go ahead and dig in. Describing a guitar's tone is an incredibly difficult task. Oftentimes, guitar geeks are trying to describe the exact same thing, but because of the wide range of vocabulary that exists, they're on seemingly two different pages. That ends today, because I'm going to share with you how to break a guitar's tone down into four simple categories that will allow you to effectively and easily communicate how a guitar actually sounds. Now, each category has a spectrum within it, and I'm going to present to you both ends of that spectrum. Neither are good or bad. It's quite simply a way to describe how the guitar sounds. So with all that being said, let's dive into category number one, and that is volume. And it has two ends of the spectrum, loud and quiet. But I'm gonna actually twist that a little bit. We'll keep loud and quiet, but I'm gonna add a sub-descriptor. Loud, or a guitar with infinite sustain, or quiet, a guitar with quick or immediate decay. Okay, let's take loud and infinite sustain. Why would you use a guitar that is incredibly loud and that has this long sustain? Well, you would use a guitar like this if you're at a jam and you need to simply stand out or you need to be heard. Think of a guitar sitting next to a banjo and a mandolin. That guitar is going to need to be loud. Or you might want a guitar that is loud or with infinite sustain because you use alternate tunings and you want the guitar to really sound rich and full and lush. And a guitar with that much sustain that has a louder voice will allow the guitar to represent itself rather well, especially with alternate tunings. And I will also say this, a guitar that has a longer tail of sustain, a guitar that is a little bit louder, actually works really good in slower or sensitive songs because the guitar rings out longer. It allows the guitar to breathe and kind of put its sonic fingerprint on the song. Now you might be wondering, what's a great example of a guitar that has this louder voice or this longer tail of sustain? Well, I have to cite my Martin HD35 as a great example of this. So that all being said, let's go ahead and give it a listen so you can hear what a guitar with a louder voice and longer sustain sounds like. Now let's move to the other end of the spectrum, a guitar that's more quiet or with immediate or quick decay. Why would you use a guitar like this? Well, I think a guitar like that is a perfect match for fingerstyle. Think ragtime or blues, or if you're a solo singer-songwriter and you want a guitar that leaves some room for your voice. Now, I think a lot of times you would think, oh, a guitar that is quiet or a guitar that has really quick decay is bad. That's not the case. In fact, a guitar that has quick decay or is quiet can absolutely excel in the right situation. And if you want a guitar, again, that leaves room for your voice, or a guitar that's thumpy and allows you to play the blues that's nice and punchy, a guitar with quick decay is a great match. And a guitar out of my collection that has a quicker decay and that has that thump and kind of has a subtly quieter voice, or a more quiet voice, I'm not sure which one. You get the idea, is the Beard Decaphonic Sidecar. So let's go ahead and listen to this so you can get an example of what a guitar with a quieter voice and a quicker decay sounds like. Mm-hmm. Guitar tone category number two is projection, and the two ends of the spectrum are this, focused and broad. Let me go ahead and define those very quickly. A guitar that has focused projection is almost like a laser. Anything that you point the guitar at, that's where it's going to shoot sound. Whereas a guitar with broad projection can fill a room. It's less directional. So what's a great example of a guitar with focused projection? Well, out of my collection, my 1935 Singolo 17 is incredibly focused, and I've actually found this attribute amongst a lot of smaller body guitars. I think the smaller body allows the sound to, well, be a little bit more directional, and this 1935 Singolo 17 is a great example. Let's give it a listen. I should mention where a guitar that has focus is best suited, and I have to say that lead playing is a fantastic use of a guitar that has focus, because the focus allows your guitar to actually be heard, whether you're playing at a jam, in an acoustic duo, or with a full-on acoustic band. Having a focused guitar allows your guitar to kind of peek above the musical or rhythmic bed that's going on and actually be heard. It's a great attribute for an acoustic guitar. On the other end of the spectrum, we have a guitar that has broader projection, less directional, and more room filling. Why would you want a guitar with this attribute? Well, if you play rhythm guitar, it's a fantastic attribute to have, because playing rhythm guitar means you're creating this nice bed of sound for other people to play in or on top of. A guitar with broad projection does that very thing. Also, if you're a singer, a guitar with broad projection is a fantastic partner to have when you play solo, because it's your voice and a guitar that fills the room. You actually occupy a lot of sonic space. So a guitar with broad projection is a fantastic instrument to have in the right scenario. And a great guitar out of my collection that has this attribute is the Santa Cruz Vintage Southerner. This guitar has such a wonderful room-filling voice, you absolutely must hear it. So let's go ahead and take a listen. The next guitar tone category on my list is tonal depth. And the two ends of the spectrum here are a guitar that has overtones or a guitar that is strictly the fundamental. Now, let me just go ahead and stop you. You might be saying, tone, what does that even mean? So let's go ahead and define the ends of the spectrum. A guitar that has overtones is lush and rich and sounds just beautiful. It's like a guitar that every time you listen to it, it's almost as if you hear something new or you get a different perspective on the same chord or the same single note line. Whereas a guitar that is strictly fundamental lacks depth, but not in a negative way. It's just more direct. It's more fundamental forward, meaning you hear the note and it doesn't have a lot of extra support. Now, I have two guitars that show great examples of each. So let's start with a guitar that is overtone rich. A guitar that is overtone rich or very lush works amazingly well with alternate tunings, because it allows the tuning to really breathe and express its full amount of nuance, if you will. Also, I will say this, if you find yourself doing single strums or going to fill out a song that is less busy and creates a little bit more space for the guitar to speak, a guitar that has overtones is fantastic, because it truly shows the beauty of the acoustic guitar. Now, a great guitar out of my collection that has this attribute is my Custom Bourgeois OMSC. It's got Cocobolo back and sides, torrified Italian spruce top, and it has overtones aplenty. Let's go ahead and give it a listen. Now let's move over to the other end of the spectrum, and that is a guitar that is fundamental forward or a guitar that lacks overtones. You might be thinking, is that even a good thing? Why would I want a guitar that lacks overtones or that is fundamental forward? Well, if you finger pick, if you happen to use finger picks, if you play the blues, if you play ragtime, or any combination of those four things, a guitar that's fundamental forward is a great match, because it speaks directly. Think about finger picking, thinking about blues, thinking about ragtime. There's generally a lot going on. And the more strings that we have active, the more sound that's being produced. And if each one of those strings presents overtones, a lot of sonic interference can occur. Whereas if you have a guitar that is fundamental forward, each string is speaking directly and not interfering with the next. So it's actually a really good match. And another genre I should bring up is bluegrass. When you're flat picking a bluegrass dreadnought, if it's fundamental forward, it pops. It has this amazing clarity and sound that is a perfect match for a jam or in a bluegrass band because the acoustic guitar needs to speak and be heard. And that fundamental forward attribute allows it to do that. That actually brings me to the guitar that I want to share with you. It's my Bourgeois Country Boy. Mahogany back and sides, Adirondack spruce top, extremely fundamental forward, and it has this wonderful clear voice, which you'll hear right now. And for the final guitar tone category, we have tonal character. And the two ends of the spectrum here are woody and warm, or stringy and cold. Let's start with woody and warm. A guitar with a woody and warm tone has this sweet, syrupy, almost thick sound to it. In fact, a lot of times vintage guitars embody the woody tonal character, meaning they might be a little bit more reserved in the volume department. However, what they lack for in volume, they make up for in this beautiful, almost complex tone you can only get after years of playing. It's very warm, it's very inviting. In fact, you also get this from a lot of guitars with torrified tops because those tops kind of have this almost older sound to them. So where would you play a guitar that has this woody and warm tone? And I think the best use for a guitar that has this tonal attribute, has this tonal character, is the recording studio. Because the guitar is so complex, because the guitar has this almost wise sound, having it under a microphone is probably the best use for it. And I have to call up again my Santa Cruz Vintage Southerner here because it's a fantastic example of a guitar that has this woody, warm, inviting tone. On to the other end of the spectrum, and that is a guitar that is stringy and cold. Now, I know what you're thinking right now. Stringy and cold sounds like an awful guitar, but a guitar that is stringy, a guitar that has a colder tonal character, actually has a bunch of uses, and the best use is alternate tunings. Because a guitar that is cold and stringy allows for greater string articulation, when you use a lower alternate tuning, each string speaks incredibly clearly. So there's no confusion amongst strings. The guitar retains the detail and retains the clarity that you need, especially if you're doing something that's maybe even a little bit more intricate, whether it be flat picking or finger picking. And the best example of a guitar that is stringy and cold in my collection is actually one of my favorite guitars. It's my custom Martin OM. I often refer to it as the tuxedo guitar. It has bird's eye maple back and sides. It has a high altitude Swiss spruce top, which makes for a very stringy guitar, a guitar that has a very cold tonal character. Again, it's not bad. It's one of my favorite guitars. And I think you'll see what I mean when I use it here with an open D tuning. Let me go ahead and review the guitar tone categories and the descriptors involved with each. Category number one, we have volume. Is the guitar loud or quiet? Meaning, does the guitar offer a ton of sustain or does it have quick or immediate decay? Category number two is projection. Is the guitar laser-like or does it fill a room? Meaning, is it focused or does it have broader projection? Category number three is tonal depth. Does the guitar present a lot of overtones or is it fundamental forward? Meaning, is the guitar luscious and rich or is it pretty dry and direct? And then the last category, category number four, is tonal character. Is the guitar woody and warm, or is it stringy and cold? Now, this brings me to a question that I have for you, and it's this. I've gone over the four categories. I want you to pick your favorite descriptor out of each category and describe your perfect guitar in the comments below. Make sure to pick one for volume, make sure to pick one for projection, tonal character, and tonal depth. Now, also, I should add this. If you have a guitar model that embodies the characteristics that you enjoy, go ahead and make sure to mention that as well. I can't wait to see what you come up with. Now it is time to meet fellow guitar geek and Tony's Acoustic Challenge member, Robin S. Robin S. is from the Great White North. Yes, she's from Canada. And in the late 80s, she put down her guitar only to pick it back up in the year 2017. And in the short three-ish years that she's been playing again, she's made incredible, incredible progress. I actually had the chance to meet Robin in person at the Acoustic Life Festival, I think two years ago at this point. And what a delight to be around. And she really has the right attitude when it comes to her guitar journey. Let's learn a little bit more about Robin S. Before I joined Tony's Acoustic Challenge, I was playing songs with basic chords and in most keys, but not all. I had a background in singing and songwriting, basically accompanying myself from the mid-60s through the 80s. I did some solo performances and group performances through theatrical productions and theater dance productions, mainly in the 70s and early 80s. In the late 80s, I left playing my guitar for the most part, until I picked it back up in 2017 through YouTube, and then ultimately in 2018, I joined Tony's Acoustic Challenge. Three things that I can do now that I couldn't do before Tony's Acoustic Challenge are one, play with far more skill and confidence, as well as just enjoy my playing with a positive outlook. Basically, I make it through the ups and the downs. Next is my picking styles have increased due to the lessons and short courses within Tony's Acoustic Challenge. Before, I could not flat pick at all, and now I'm using a flat pick with more accuracy and comfort, although I do still prefer finger picking. Next, I read tabs and try to play intros and outros and songs as presented in the given music. I should also mention that after taking the Fretboard Wizard course five times now, I understand the use of keys, how chords are created, and I can transpose using both the Nashville number system and by ear. Here's what I hope to accomplish by next year. I want to play individual notes within songs, as in the melodies, as well as incorporate tack licks and learn the slide technique. I also want to improve my flat picking skills and hope to strengthen my use of tabs. I do want to participate in group, jam club, and fundraising performances after COVID restrictions lift. I should mention that I did do a church fundraiser in November of 2019 and sang two songs at my son's wedding this past September. I also want to better improve my recording skills. I definitely need lessons. I am technologically challenged, and I hope to return to ALF in 2022, the best positive experience of all. I want to thank Robin so much for sharing her story. It's always awesome to get a glimpse into a fellow guitar geek's journey. We were able to see where she started, what she's been working on, and of course, what she's looking forward to in the future. Now, I had a chance to meet Robin at the Acoustic Life Festival 2 years ago, 3 years ago now, not exactly sure. But the standout thing was her positive attitude. If she had a guitar in her hand, she had a smile on her face, whether she was playing solo, with a band, working on something difficult, working on something easy, it didn't matter. If she was holding the guitar, she had a smile on her face. And in my opinion, that just shows the level of enjoyment guitar can bring. And it's so cool to see that Robin has tapped into that. And I think her progress is proof of that. In the last three or so years, she has just catapulted her progress because she's having fun every single time she sits down with the guitar. So thank you again, Robin, for sharing your story, and congratulations on your tackiversary. Now I want to take you on a trip. Yes, I want you to pack your bags. We're going to head down to Hamilton, Mississippi, and we're going to visit fellow guitar geek Mike and have a look at his guitar arsenal. This is Mike Holman, and here's what he's got. Front row, left to right, we have a Martin OME Cherry back and sides, a Gibson Hummingbird with rosewood back and sides, and a Martin GPC-16 with rosewood back and sides. The second row, we've got a Baby Taylor, a handmade custom mountain dulcimer, a JPB Player, which was his first ever guitar, the one that started it all, and the Takamine P1M All Cedar. He's holding a Fender CT100 mandolin. He said, "I can't play it yet. This is the next challenge on my journey." Well, I want to thank Mike for sharing his guitar arsenal with us. And if you're sitting there thinking, I want to be involved in the Acoustic Tuesday show, I want to share my guitar arsenal, please do so. There are three simple steps that you have to follow. Number one, go to acoustictuesday.store and pick out your favorite guitar arsenal shirt. Get it shipped directly to your door. Step number two is once that shirt arrives, put it on, and go ahead and take a picture amongst all of your guitars. And step number three, upload that picture on acousticlife.tv. Once you're there, click on the submit link, and once you click on that, you'll be able to enter your information and upload your picture, tell your story just like Mike did, and I'll feature you on an upcoming episode of the Acoustic Tuesday show. Speaking of episodes of Acoustic Tuesday, I want to rewind and go back to the very first episode we did this year. We talked about New Year's resolutions and your next 90-day guitar goal. There were some awesome comments and some great conversations started from that very episode, so I want to feature a few of those comments right now. Our first one comes from Ron One and Done, and he says this, "I've been meaning to learn more than words for the longest time. I've mostly learned how to play it on guitar, but singing it at the same time always seems so difficult. Time to get it done. Especially because I finally received my year-in-the-making Preston Thompson guitar. Hashtag small win, which is actually big." Well, congratulations, Ron, on your new Thompson guitar and an awesome 90-day goal, learning more than words and being able to sing it at the same time. Very clear, very specific, and I think an awesome, awesome goal. It's kind of the guitar equivalent of rubbing your tummy and patting your head at the same time. Our next comment comes from W. Mark Landers, and this is a message to Marty. He's the guitar geek we featured in that episode, who called himself a 30-year beginner, and through deliberate practice and a fun guitar routine, became a confident guitar player. Mark says this, "Message to Marty, congratulations on getting back into guitar and improving your skills. I can relate to your story. I always knew three chords and never played them well until the switch flipped in me in about 2 years ago. And I'm 60. Keep up the great work." Just an awesome show of Guitar Geek support right off the bat in the new year. Very great stuff. Thank you for sharing that, Mark. Our next comment comes from Jackie T. "Trying to play every day, even if only for 5 minutes, and working on reading music better and applying that to the fretboard. I think it will help with picking." I think this is an awesome comment, and I wanted to feature it because playing guitar for 5 minutes every day is an excellent habit that you should do right now from this day forward. Because check this out, if you play for 5 minutes every day, you can sit down, play for 5 minutes, and feel good because you accomplished what you set out to do. If you play for longer than 5 minutes, well, then you've just given yourself extra bonus guitar time, which is really good. So you're placing yourself in a win-win scenario. So I want to thank Jackie for leaving this comment and just sharing her awesome goal for this new year. This, even if it's the next 90 days, it's an awesome habit to get into. So thanks again, Jackie, for sharing that. Our next comment comes in the form of a question, and it comes from screen name MVP019. "I have a question for Tony and all the guitar geeks here. I'm contemplating a new guitar purchase. Which would you choose and why? Followed by WWTD, which I think stands for What Would Tony Do?" I kind of like that. It's kind of cool, kind of funny. He wants to know what we would choose and why. The two options are this, a Bourgeois JOM with bear claw, Sitka spruce top, and figured Honduran mahogany back and sides, or a Collings OMH2 with a Sitka spruce top and Indian rosewood back and sides. He says, "I may or may not be able to pull the trigger soon, but wanted input from the Guitar Geek community to help my decision." What would I do? This is a tough one because, first of all, both guitar makers are phenomenal, Bourgeois and Collings. So let's put the obvious out there. But we're looking at two guitars that are different in terms of the back and sides used, Honduran mahogany and rosewood back and sides. I have to say this, you know, we were talking about tone earlier in today's episode, and I'm kind of a sucker for overtones, and I'm kind of a sucker for a guitar that has more sustain. So in my opinion, without playing the guitars, without having them in front of me, I would actually go with the Collings OMH2 because that seems like on paper a guitar that I would favor. It likely has probably more of a stringy tonal character. It's probably, as I mentioned before, it's probably on the louder end of the spectrum or has a little bit more sustain. In terms of its projection, I would like to think it's pretty focused. And in terms of its tonal depth, I think that it probably presents a nice set of overtones. It's probably pretty rich and luscious. That's what I would go with. But if you have an opinion, please share it below. And of course, explain why you have that opinion. Our next comment comes from Denning Tonja. Hopefully I said that right. And he says this, "In the next 90 days, I will experiment with alternate tunings." To which Michael Laverty replied, "I dipped into open G tuning recently and stumbled into some cool sounding chords and a little slide. Funny thing is, I couldn't make heads or tails in open D. Go figure. Pretty awesome stuff and a great 90-day goal to just dabble in alternate tunings. And our episode just last week went over some alternate tunings. So hopefully that helped you on your way, Denning Tonja. I hope I'm saying that right. It feels right, but I don't know. Well, I want to thank everyone that left a comment on that episode. And of course, I always encourage you to leave a comment on the current episode. Go ahead and ask a question, or usually I ask you a question throughout the episode, so make sure to answer that in the comments as well. Now, I'm about to wrap up the Acoustic Tuesday show for the day, but first, I want to share with you some acoustic guitar news that you can use. Yes, I've got a list of a couple items here that I think you need to know about. The first item is not necessarily acoustic guitar related, but very much guitar industry related. You may have heard this already, but Gibson Guitar purchased Mesa Boogie. Yes, indeed, Mesa Boogie joined the Gibson Guitar family. And in the comments below, I want to know what you think about that. To share with you my honest opinion, this one raised my hackles a little bit because I think Gibson has been doing a great job of focusing on guitars, especially after the kind of the new wave of management has come through. I feel like their guitars have really upped in quality. And last time when they started dabbling in other fields of the industry, their guitar quality suffered. So I'm just a little bit nervous about this, but it's really too early to tell. I mean, some great innovation could come out of this as well. I don't know, but that's just my kind of hot take. So let me know yours in the comments below. The next piece of news is just a picture I have to show you. I'm a Tonewood junkie. I'm a total guitar geek. And when I was surfing Instagram, I found this post from Ryan Guitars. You have to check out this piece of Cocobolo. It looks like it's from another planet. And I feel like the folks at Ryan Guitars are really good at finding these types of tonewoods that you look at and they just kind of make your jaw drop and your head kind of explode. So huge shout out to the folks at Ryan Guitars for just finding some incredible, incredible tonewoods. The next item on my list is an unlikely country album, country slash bluegrass slash Americana album from an artist that I definitely don't associate with any of those genres that I just mentioned. Yes, Barry Gibb just released a new album on January 8th entitled Greenfields, The Gibb Brothers Songbook, Volume 1. Now, this caught my attention not because of Barry Gibb. It caught my attention because of the cast of characters, the cast of players that he assembled to record for this album. It's unreal. We're talking Dolly Parton, Miranda Lambert, Jason Isbell, Tommy Emmanuel, Dave Rawlings, Gillian Welch, Keith Urban, amongst many, many others. I'm sure I'm forgetting somebody. Oh, Sheryl Crow. I'm sure I'm forgetting quite a few players, but this stunned me. Now, this is not a dig at Barry Gibb at all. A dig at Barry Gibb. That's kind of hard to say. But he's just not on my radar. But when I heard about this album, I thought, I got to check it out. I really dig this album. The standout tune for me is the one that he did with Gillian Welch and Dave Rawlings. It's just beautiful, but every song on the album really kind of struck me, and I thought it was a cool framing of these songs. So with that being said, let's take a real quick look at the album trailer.
This is my country album called Greenfields, featuring some of the greatest country artists I've ever known, and it's all of the people I dreamed of working with in country music. Produced by a living legend, Dave Cobb, and just made my dream come true. I'm alone, and I gotta let her know, just in time before I go. I just gotta get a message to you. Hold on, hold on.
The next piece of news I have for you comes from James Taylor, and he just launched a series on YouTube entitled Me and My Guitars. And this literally is James Taylor sitting in a room with his guitars, and he's telling the stories behind each. Now, these are in-depth stories. These aren't just a quick brush by his entire guitar collection saying, oh, there's that, there's this, there's that. No, he focuses on one guitar, and he really gets into detail about that guitar, its purpose in his life, when it came into his life, what songs he used it on, and even stories related to that guitar. Really incredible stuff. I found this when I was actually riding the stationary bike, and I actually rode the stationary bike longer because I found this particular series. So yes, it's that captivating, and let's take a quick sneak peek into one of the episodes right now.
And the guitar he was playing was one of these. It was a white book made by Mark Whitebrook in Southern California. He was a great guitar maker, and he made a couple of these guitars for me. He put my tattoo, I've got a tattoo on my shoulder. My sister Kate, when I was living in London recording there, my sister Kate came over, and she was fixated on getting a tattoo. She had made this little design, which was the sun, the moon and the ocean, which is a reproduction of this tattoo on my shoulder right here, see?
The next news item I have for you is a tribute to Tony Rice that was hosted by Brian Sutton. It was put on by the ArtistWorks platform. And first of all, huge shout out to both ArtistWorks for hosting this and Brian Sutton for being an awesome host. What happened is they gathered a bunch of bluegrass guitarists to talk about Tony Rice, his influence that he had on them, and also just personal stories about them playing with him or them meeting him for the first time. Really an incredible cast was assembled here. Dave Greer, Jake Workman, Kenny Smith, Jim Hurst, Ron Block, Tim Stafford, amongst Trey Hensley. They even did audio of Norman Blake towards the end. Tommy Emmanuel, I mean, so many players. It's well worth your time to really dig into and hear these stories. And just to give you a taste of what you can expect, here's a quick snippet of the tribute to Tony Rice, brought to you by ArtistWorks and Brian Sutton, entitled Me and His Guitar.
One of the main things that happened when I heard about Tony Rice is this, my G chord was this. And when Tony came around, I started hearing people play just with that B chord and putting a little bit of like stank on it, you know? It's like a little bit of almost like a level of testosterone that goes in.
And finally, I have one more little news nugget for you. It's pretty clear that oftentimes movie stars play guitar. But I never saw this movie star playing guitar until I was up late one night surfing on Instagram. Check this out. Yes, indeed, Alien from the movie Alien plays acoustic guitar. I never would have connected those dots, but I found it on the internet, so if it's on the internet, it must be true, right? Anyways, yes, but I do have a question for you in regard to that picture. What song do you think Alien was playing? Do you think he was playing a slow and sensitive ballad, or do you think he was playing like a hard rock number? And I want you to get specific, so let me know in the comments below. What do you think Alien was playing? Now, as I say that, I'm now wondering if Alien was a guy or a girl. I don't think it matters for this question. It doesn't matter for this question. What do you think Alien was playing on that acoustic guitar? Let me know in the comments below. And with that high-level piece of news, thus concludes the Acoustic Tuesday show for today. But let's take a sneak peek to see what's going to happen next week on the show. Next week, we're going to have a look at the guitar makers you need to watch for 2021. Some of these makers fly under the radar. Some of them are mainstream. Some of them you've never heard about. Some of them you absolutely have heard about. But bottom line, these guitar makers are up to some incredible things in 2021, so tune in next week to find out. I'm not sure how many there will be. I'm still doing quite a bit of research, and I'm finding some incredible stuff. So make sure to tune in to next week's episode of Acoustic Tuesday to find out who you need to watch for 2021. And remember, you can catch the Acoustic Tuesday show every single Tuesday at 10 a.m. Mountain Time here on YouTube. And I just want to thank you for sharing your time with me today. Thank you for being a guitar geek. And remember, your guitar progress, however you define it, your guitar success, however you define it, is directly related to your guitar routine. So please invest the time in your guitar routine and make sure that you have fun every day that you play. Thanks again for joining me today. Thanks again for being a guitar geek, and I'll see you next Tuesday on the Acoustic Tuesday show. Cheers, and guitar geeks unite.